good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. We are Arizona-centric. Things, though, that we see nationally that we have a take on. We join you every Monday through Friday right here just after 10 o'clock. And not just on Sports360AZ.com. That is our flagship, but we also partner with AZ Central Sports. Those of you at the Arizona Republic and AZ Central Sports, thanks for joining us. Kent Summers, in fact, AZ Central Cardinal Insider, will join us this morning at about 10:35 on Todd Bowles leaving. And where's Kent see the Cardinals going? We've talked about Dick LeBeau, wrote about it over the weekend. Is that the guy that the Cardinals are going to bring on the defensive coordinator side? And some of these coaching hires in the NFL, you know, I look around the NFL, like right now, Rex Ryan is at the podium in Buffalo. I don't get why these teams hire these guys, these recycles. I don't. So I'm going to talk to Ken about that. I absolutely love the Kurt Busch story. The Kurt Busch story, if you've not heard about this, how many of you have been sleeping with a hired assassin? Because that's what Kurt Busch is saying, the girl that he's trying to get away from for whatever reason, that she showed up in a blood-splattered gown. I got to talk about that here in a couple of minutes. She's a trained assassin, and she's nuts, which is great. My wife, trained assassin, yeah, she crushes me and kills me if I don't pay the bills, if I don't do things around the house the right way. Kurt Busch, though, NASCAR driver, big famous guy, married to crazy girl. Love this story. I got to talk about that as the show moves on. And I was at the Suns game last night. Markieff Morris doesn't want to talk. You're Markieff Morris. Come on. You don't want to talk. You're Markieff Morris. All right? Most people don't know who you are. It's a fact. You had your best game ever. I'm not talking. Okay. Got it. Next game, turn the page, see you later. We don't care. God, these guys are just nitwits. Let's get you caught up some things in my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top, and it is in the beautiful mountains. Pull down that slot. Have some big winning. See that money flow through. Drop on down and scoop it all up. Sounds good, right? It's all up in Pine Top, just outside of Pine Top, in fact, in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino, that is the place to get away from it all, to enjoy it. The great outdoors of Arizona, the snow that's up there at the Sunrise Ski Resort. You can stay at the Honda Resort and Casino, pull down on the slots, great winning, big fun, eat some great food. That's all at the Honda Resort and Casino. They've been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. In fact, you go to their website, Honda.com, and they will have all sorts of fun stuff for you to check out that you can get involved in at the Honda Resort and Casino, which is just outside of Pine Top. We appreciate the support of the Honda Resort and Casino. So Markieff Morris and the Suns last night beat the Cavaliers 107-100. This was a game that when I went to the arena, I got down there early, and it didn't feel, it's hard for me because I've been here 20 plus years. I was here during the Charles at his height. I was here at the arena when it was Amari, when it was Nash, when it was cool with Grant Hill and Nash. And they were a team that was fun to watch, even in the ownership change. Here, a team that was fun to watch. So then I go down to the arena and it's the Cavaliers yesterday. And there's no scalpers out front. There's really no crowd out front. I go down there to check things out. The big story is about LeBron. Jeff Hornacek is asked about Marcus Morris and the whole blow up in Minnesota, which was a week ago. Like the first question coming off of a road trip, really? The game started and there were empty seats all over the place. There were empty seats in the second quarter. There were seats that were never filled throughout the night. And it was great theater to see LeBron out on the floor. It was fun before the game to see Sean Marion. I think the Cavaliers had a little bit of a Scottsdale night. You know, it was a little bit of a Scottsdale game. Eric, did you watch last night some of the game?
Parts of it. I saw not all of it, but I saw parts of it.
Cleveland, Brian Windhorst was with us yesterday, and Brian's terrific. Cleveland, we were joking about this, but it's embarrassing how little interior defense they have.
None. They have no presence around the basket.
If anybody should have talked last night and had a career game, it would have been Alex Len.
Well, and they had an inside presence, but Varejao got hurt. He's gone for the year.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, Brad, that we're on this topic because I was thinking last night. Okay, so yesterday on the show, Brian Windhorst told you that LeBron had been targeting this Suns game for quite a while as a return. And there was all the hubbub yesterday about LeBron going to the national championship game and flying out after practice and then flying back at, quote-unquote, 12:30 Phoenix time, even though he was on the field at after 11 o'clock Phoenix time. It doesn't all add up. I wonder if LeBron said, you know what, I really want to see Ohio State play, and I don't want to catch a lot of flack if I'm watching the game in Dallas and I'm still not playing. So I'm just going to go ahead and we've got an off night that night. I'm going to go ahead and just return the next night against the Suns.
Okay, so what I'm going to tell you is, and you're not going to like this, I'm going to put LeBron about 7 minutes from now because I don't want to let Markieff Morris off the hook. And there's some stuff about LeBron where I think from a strategy standpoint, he's got Cleveland right where he wants him.
Not the rest
of the Eastern Conference, not the rest of the NBA. He has Cleveland right where he wants him. And I saw Griff last night, David Griffin, talked to him for a little bit, and Rajah Bell talked to him. I mean, there's this whole Sun side with Cleveland. But I'm going to talk about that in about 5 minutes. One last thing on the Suns, and it is the Markieff Morris thing. Eric mentioned it. Markieff Morris did not want to talk after the game, and he had a career-high 35 points. Sean Marion last night said to Bruce Cooper of Channel 12, I was talking to Coop, about going into the Ring of Honor. And, you know, we've been doing that narrative here the last couple of days. And Sean said, well, you know, most of you guys didn't even like me to begin with when I was here. So Sean still has a chip on his shoulder. And it's like 17 years later. And I mean, come on, let it go. Markieff Morris came here as a first-round draft pick. And if he feels like he is not being respected or that he doesn't get enough love or any of that nonsense, you haven't earned it. I don't know. Try making it into the postseason. Just try. Try being the guy that every night is consistent, not just being a role player, because that's what you are on this team, is a role player. For whatever reason, you just had a very good win. It's your first game back off a long, long month of being away. 21 of 30 they played away from home. And now they're away for a while, and he has his best game ever as a Son, and he doesn't want to talk. And most people today at work are like, who is Markieff Morris and why should I care? That's embarrassing for someone to do that. It just is. There's no reason for it. And furthermore, with the Suns, being down there and watching Alex Len develop, I know there are games where he looks horrible and there are games where he just doesn't look like he can play dead and that he has two left feet. He was hurt last year. So let's give him a little bit of a break. And when I see him get up and down the floor and some of the things that he can do, I have to tell you, I'm impressed with Alex Len. That's been a good addition for the Phoenix Suns. That said, there's no question that they have to make a deal in the next few weeks. And spending some time down there last night just talking to people around the team, and not PR people, but people that are really invested in this thing, one of those three in the backcourt is going to have to go, whether it's Goran, whether it's Bledsoe, or whether it's Isaiah Thomas. In my opinion, Isaiah Thomas will not bring in the haul that he should, that they need, I should say. If it's me, and if it's Markieff Morris upset about something behind the scenes, because that happens in the NBA, maybe it got back to him that they're shopping him around, they should. The Morris twins, to me, are just nice role players. If it took something like that to get him angry to play well and put up, he played well last night. I'm not big on them putting him out in the corner and having him shoot pocket threes as a way to win games. That's great in the regular season. I don't know. Last time I checked, they haven't been to the postseason in a while. They haven't done anything here in town. So I don't think they're going to do it by having a guy sit in the corner and hit some three-point jumpers like Channing Frye. This is not Channing Frye. He's not done it consistently. The Suns shot 53%. Why is that? Because Cleveland has no interior defense. Suns had very, very easy looks at the hole throughout most of the night. I think that we should try to embrace the Suns, but they're not embraceable. They have a good record. They have a bunch of games. They have Minnesota tomorrow night, who's horrible. They should beat Minnesota. If you go through their schedule, there's a lot of bad teams in the NBA. And I've said the Suns are nothing more than a seventh or eighth seed. They can prove loudmouth guy behind a microphone dead flat wrong and actually get the city, I think, a little bit interested in them if they run through this long stretch of games. They chose to play a bunch of road games in December because they wanted to be here during the Super Bowl. They felt like there'd be well-attended games. I don't know, last night's game, they can announce sellout all they want. A lot of empty seats. That's embarrassing for us in this market. That is just flat-out embarrassing. And I get it, LeBron was questionable. But even so, when the schedule first comes out, you would think that instead of having like one or two seats here or there, there are rows and rows and rows and sections. I've got pictures on my phone. I was sending a friend saying, how's the game? How's the vibe? It's empty. I sent one to you, E. Were you surprised?
No. But that was right at tip-off, right?
That was right
before tip-off.
Mm-hmm.
Late arriving crowd, but again, no excuse. No excuse.
So there's some things around the Suns that they'll go off the radar now that LeBron has come and gone. But I'm going to talk about LeBron on the other side. And I want some time to do it and to stretch out on this topic. And then we'll talk with Kent Summers about the impact of Todd Bowles leaving and all things around the Cardinals, the playoffs and all that stuff. So at some point, Kurt Busch is going to make it on this show, me talking about Patricia Driscoll. She was his girlfriend, testified Tuesday. He testified, Kurt Busch, he believes his ex-girlfriend is a trained assassin. Of course she is. I love this story. Who doesn't love a NASCAR driver sleeping with a trained assassin? We all do it, guys. If we don't do things right, they're going to cut our heads off. I'm Brad Sussmat. Can't get enough of Rex Ryan.
John Hannon played guard. We'll play them, too.
Sean. Hi, Rex. Sean Stepner from Channel 7 WKBW in Buffalo. Welcome to Buffalo.
Welcome to Buffalo, Rex.
You mentioned the defense and how you want to improve on their high rating and ranking. How much are you salivating to get your hands on that D? And what is
how
it
much
look
are you
like
salivating? I'm salivating all of my
how
boots.
How are you going to mold that unit?
Well, first off, it starts. I'm putting together a heck of a coaching staff.
All right, enough. I don't know why guys like Rex Ryan. I get it. Twitter blew up with Rex Ryan.
Yeah, we missed the meat of it. He had some really funny stuff to say in the first part of it.
Yeah.
He made a reference to, I'm Rex Ryan with job security, and I have DirecTV. And I'm Rex Ryan without job security, and I have cable. Pretty funny.
That's funny. But it's Buffalo, okay? At some point, do you get past the what's trending and how many clicks and get into meat and potatoes? Like, I don't know. Did you develop a quarterback with the Jets? Hey, Rex, how do you plan on developing a quarterback? The shtick will grow old. He went to a Sabres game. Of course, that works like I went to a Chandler High game. That's the same as Buffalo.
Yuck.
You know, I went to a Sabres game. Of course you did. He drank beers with Jim Kelly. Of course he did. I don't get why guys like that get chances over and over and over in this league. I really don't. Kent Summers here in about 5 minutes on Todd Bowles. All right, so back to LeBron. LeBron decides he wants to go to Dallas and watch the national title game. And when he did that, essentially to me, it said, I'm going to play. Otherwise, I'm going to get crushed. Not that I care that I'm going to get crushed, mind you, but I'm going to get crushed. He basically is doing whatever it is he wants to do. When he was in Miami, he had Pat Riley stare him down. When he's in Cleveland, he has nobody to stare him down. When he was in Miami, he had Dwayne Wade that was another alpha male. When he's in Cleveland, he has no other alpha males. There's nobody. And to me, it just seems like watching him, he had 33 last night, and he tried to have 53. There's a few times he put his head down into PJ Tucker and just went right at him like a bull in a ring. It seems to me offensively when you watch them, there's really nothing there. It's just him saying, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to do it my way. I don't know what to make out of the shove last night between LeBron and Blatt. Was that LeBron trying to save his coach from the official? There was a moment last night, if you haven't seen it, it's out there. It's all over the place today, where their coach, who seems way in over his head in the NBA world. Paul Cora had an interesting tweet last night. Blatt is almost coaching in Jeff Hornacek's box. He's so far down the lane. Maybe he doesn't know the NBA rules.
And a lot of the whispers, Brad, before the Heat did their shoot-around slash practice on...
Cavs
did their shoot-around slash practice Monday at GCU, where, you know, the players just don't like Blatt. And when you don't like and you don't respect your coach, that's a problem. You can do one or the other, but if you don't like your head coach and you don't respect the head coach has a big problem.
There were some scouts there last night that were talking about, you know, I don't want to give too much of it away, but just that it looks like LeBron is doing his own thing when he's out there.
No question. No doubt.
And so if you're not running your sets, and right now they don't even have a home spot in the first round of the playoffs, right? So this is the greatest player, supposedly. And then you see the story today in Los Angeles that the Lakers are considering shutting Kobe down for the season to get him ready for next year. Of course, that makes perfect sense. Of course it does. We blow now, and Kobe's only going to get better with age. He's like wine. No, he's not. So you have these star players in the league. The Atlanta Hawks last night rested three of their starters. The Atlanta Hawks, this is not the San Antonio Spurs resting three of their starters because they're playing so well. The league is just somewhat crazy, but I think in LeBron's case, we're talking specifically about Cleveland, seeing him here last night in front of not a full house in downtown Phoenix. It's the what strikes me is he's painted the Cavaliers into a spot where I am LeBron, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and how I do it, that's for you guys to deal with. I am going to go put my 33-5 out, and the rest of you, and the fans in Cleveland, I don't know if the fans in Cleveland cared one iota. They probably loved the fact he was at the game for Ohio State to support Ohio State. Probably loved that. And he went out and he produced, but you look at the rest of that roster. As much as I like David Griffin, I don't know how Griff can control LeBron James. I don't know how Griff can look him in the eye. And Kevin Love wasn't even on the floor in the fourth quarter last night. How do you not have your best player outside of your superstar, your other superstar, who, by the way, you gave up two first-round picks for, how is he not even on the floor?
And the head coach said two nights ago that Kevin Love isn't a max player. Oops, sorry, slip of the tongue, my bad.
Right, and, you know, LeBron has a one-year deal. I don't know. There were people last night trying to connect dots saying, well, you know, he could walk out on the Cavaliers, and that doesn't seem like his thing. He's very shrewd. He's very, very smart. This is not woe is me. This is him showing up, doing his thing. Yeah, we don't have a good squad. It's not my fault. They have this coach who came in here. I have this roster here. He got into Kyrie Irving's grill early in the season. And it's just like, you know, I'm back in Cleveland. I'm going to fly around the world. I don't have a problem with him going to the Ohio State game. I really don't. Look, these guys are human beings, and this is not playoff time. He's paid a ton of money. There's a responsibility to show up and play for your team. But I didn't see any jet lag last night. I didn't see him. His knees were aching, or he wasn't able to move out on the floor. He didn't play defense, or he mailed it in. He just went out and did his own thing. So this narrative of he's out of control. No, I think he's a superstar of superstars who knows his place and knows that he has the Cavaliers over a barrel. He has them over a barrel. Now, I don't know if LeBron James would walk in and say, David Blatt, I don't want him here anymore. Get him out of here. And I want my guy. I don't know if the Cavaliers would say, I'm not around that organization enough. I know the general manager. There's some nice people within that organization that I know. But I think at the end of the day, it comes back to their crazy owner. It's like when I'm making fun of the Bills press conference. Same thing with Dan Gilbert over there with the Cavaliers. You go get LeBron James, and you go get Kevin Love, and then you bring in a coach from Europe who's had great success. What is the correlation there? You know, how does that work? Was he even a fit to begin with? And then you're in Buffalo of all places, and you bring Rex Ryan in, and you expect him to suddenly fix your offense. I don't know. It's the Suns game last night was more fun talking with the national guys and just seeing the Cavaliers' body language. Talked to Sean Marion for a little bit. Just how they handle themselves as a supposed Beatles on tour. This is not the Beatles. This is not the Beatles at all. It's one guy. You know, it's just Paul McCartney and a bunch of guys rolling through. That's it. All right. On the other side, Kent Summers. We talk with Kent. The Kurt Busch story, if you've not heard it from start to finish, I will have analysis of that. And I may swing back around on this Kobe story, too. I know there's some things outside of Phoenix today, but Kobe is 3-for-27 in the final minute this season when the Lakers are ahead or behind by 5 points. 3-for-27. No, we think, you know, it's a great idea. Let's gather around the table. Let's have him sit out for the rest of this year because we're going to blow. And then it makes perfect sense to bring him back. Of course it does. I'm Brad Sussman.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Sports 360 AZ, we partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat with you. Reading through this Kurt Busch story. You know, all this happened in El Paso with the crazy woman. We got Kent Summers coming on here in a second. Kurt Busch said that this girl repeatedly asserted her assassin status and claimed the work took her on missions across Central and South America and Africa. He recounted one time when the couple was in El Paso, Texas. Of course they're in El Paso. And she left in camo gear, only to return later wearing a trench coat over an evening gown covered in blood. Of course she did. But she's not nuts. A day earlier, Bush said his ex-girlfriend told him she was a mercenary who killed people for a living. Shown him pictures of bodies and gunshot wounds. Said she was a character in Zero Dark Thirty. Kent, did you ever date someone like this? Here's Kent Summers now, AZ Central Cardinals. You never dated someone like this, did you?
No, I struggled to get a date. I couldn't even get a date with somebody like that.
Yeah. Hired assassin. Oh, that's great. Thanks for playing. See you later. You're crazy.
Yeah. And he kept seeing her, huh?
Of course he did. Of course he did. I mean, he's a NASCAR driver. He drives fast. He's got to be with fast women. He's known as the outlaw.
It sounds like a Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly movie.
That's right. Of course. And they'll put it in El Paso, Texas. Yeah. She's in El Paso wearing a trench coat and an evening gown. Of course she is. That makes perfect sense. All right. Kent Summers, AZ Central Cardinals insider. Always good to have Kent on the show. You're not surprised Todd Bowles took the Jets job, are you?
No, I think it was inevitable that he would go somewhere. I kept hearing that Atlanta was his top choice, and I don't know if that was because people actually knew or because Atlanta's a nice place to live and they have a quarterback there and the Jets don't. But I think the Falcons seem to be taking their time in their coaching search, and Todd grabbed the job that was offered.
Okay, so, and I'm a little curious. I'm somewhat surprised he would take the Jets job, and here's why. They've never won. I mean, if you're going to go bring Joe Namath back, that's fine, but you mentioned it. In Atlanta, on offense at least, Julio Jones, Roddy White, Matt Ryan, you got some pieces there. It just seems a little strange that he would get to the point of, I'm not even going to fly down there. I'm going to cancel out and just take this Jets job. What is it in Atlanta? You mentioned they're taking their time. Is there something more to that story? Why they're people are not that on the surface appeared to be the best of the jobs when this all started?
Yeah, I don't know if people are scared off. I don't know what they would be scared off by in Atlanta. I mean, they have the management team and structure and the quarterback and an owner who's willing to spend and a new stadium coming and you know a place that a lot of people like to live. I don't know if people were getting a bad vibe. I think more it was they just appear to be taking their time, and the coaches, Todd and Rex Ryan, namely, didn't want to wait and then, you know, possibly miss out on other jobs that were open. So they you know, took the bird in the hand.
Now, Todd Bowles had been an interim in Miami, and he had a little bit of time, right?
Right.
So do you know, though, for certain that he'll be a good head coach?
No, I mean, I don't think so. I don't think anyone can sit here and tell you that he will be a court. Well, Bruce Arians could, and he would be sincere about it.
Sure.
I don't know that. I do know that there's not one Cardinal who played for him who has a bad word to say about him or who thinks he will fail with the Jets. If something happens there, it won't be his fault. I mean, he's just – rarely do you hear of a coach who just gets 100% rave reviews from players, but that's what Todd had with the Cardinals. And it appears to be much different with players than he is in front of the media most of the time. We see flashes of a sense of humor, and he's quick to smile, and he's a good guy. But he's more of the Bill Parcells school, where I'm not going to give a lot of information out. I'm not going to be Mr. Glib and Mr. Soundbite. And in that way, he's the anti-Rex Ryan.
Yeah. Which is a good thing, in my opinion. I for the life of me, can't figure out why Buffalo would go down that path, but that's just me. Ken Summers, AZ Central, Cardinals insider for a couple of minutes. How big of a blow is this to the organization? I don't think it's one that is unexpected, obviously, and it sounds like Dick LeBeau's already in the pipeline and some other names, too, but is this a big blow in your opinion?
Well, I mean, a little bit of a blow, obviously, just because he did such a good job and had proven here, and they had a system in place, and the players believe in him. It's a blow from that sense. But I think if we've learned anything in a couple of years is that, you know, Bruce Arians and Steve Keim are pretty good at adjusting to losses.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Arians has been around for a long time, coached in the league for a long time, and has a ton of friends and a ton of connections. So I think he probably knows exactly what he's going to do. So I don't think it's a huge, huge blow. I think they'll be able to replace him. I remember everyone was in a panic, you know, a couple of years ago when Ray Horton wasn't retained by Arians, and that worked out okay. So I think Arians has enough credibility that, you know, I think Cardinals fans should probably trust him on this one.
Yeah, it's funny how that works with coordinators. I remember when Todd Haley left here, it was like the world was coming to an end. And, you know,
yeah, they
that's just
get,
part of the deal.
You know, it's kind of funny. They've kind of moved up the food chain in terms of getting a lot of credit and taking a lot of heat. We see head coaches who are more willing to fire coordinators earlier in 10 years than ever before. And we see coordinators who become pseudo stars, and they're sort of paid like it. You know, mm-hmm. the Cardinals bumped up Todd Bowles' salary to close to $2 million in an effort to at least, you know, keep him from jumping at any job, although you could argue that the Jets were, you know, would be any job, and why would you go to the Jets? But he is from New Jersey, you know, maybe that is closer to home, and it is the New York Jets, and if you can go in there and turn around that franchise, that'd be huge.
A couple other things for you. Dick LeBeau, do you think he's the next guy here?
I think they would like for him to be. I don't think he's the next defensive coordinator. I'm getting the feeling they would like him to join in kind of a senior advisor role like Tom Moore does with the offense. I think they'll go in a different direction at defense coordinator, maybe someone younger, maybe even someone within the staff. But I know Bruce Arians would love to have Dick LeBeau come to Arizona. But talking to people who know Dick LeBeau, they think that's going to be very hard. He mm-hmm. wants to stay close to Ohio, to family. He's never, you know, moved east of the Mississippi. People close to him do not see it happening.
Hmm. Some quick thoughts with Super Bowl week coming up. What are your duties going to be that week, by the way?
A little bit of everything. You know, we've got a lot of enterprise story planned, you know, state of the league kind of things. And yeah. I'm going to be kind of floating around doing a story / column of the day. We're gonna have writers assigned to each team, and then some others like myself who will kind of hop from team to team, story to story.
Cool. So we'll see you out at the Open on Pro-Am Day when John Elway is out there, and you'll be chasing him like at 16 or 17.
I'm not so sure about that.
I'm hearing his name out there, Kent, and I'm hearing a lot of big Hall of Fame names, football famous names in the Pro-Am on Wednesday. So,
I bet, no doubt about it. It's going to be a a huge, huge week. We're all going to be incredibly busy, which is a good thing.
Okay, so you'll have Hall of Fame voting on Saturday, which will take up most of your day. What does your gut say, you know, like 20, 30 seconds on Warner's eligibility and making it this year?
I think he's a guy. I think he's going to be the most interesting debate in the room. I don't know if he makes it this year. I think he is. He should be in the Hall of Fame. I just don't know if it's this year. There are a lot of guys waiting in the pipeline. There are other strong first-year candidates in Orlando Pace, Marvin Harrison Jr., Seau. But I think the interesting debate about Kurt Warner is going to be, okay, what he did with the Rams was great. What he did in Arizona was great. But what happened in between? An amazing career with kind of a big hole in the middle of it.
I used the term scrap heap to him on the air, and he bristled. And my point was they rescued you off the scrap heap in New York. I was never on the scrap heap. I would beg to differ. And it wasn't his fault, in my opinion, but you're right. And are you presenting anybody this year? You did Aeneas in the past.
You know, I don't know. They haven't announced that yet. I imagine I don't know if I'll be the presenter for Kurt Warner. I will chime in.
Yeah.
But it's a fascinating story, one of the best stories in NFL history, and a guy who really resurrected his career twice. And you know, he might not have seen himself on the scrap heap, but other people did when he was getting sacked six times at Sun Devil Stadium for the Giants.
Right, right. Carson Palmer. So everybody's talking about Fitz. I'll get to that in a second. I've heard mid-August is about the timeline for him. Are you hearing that or something different?
That's later than I've heard. I think they were optimistic he would be at least, you know, be able to throw some by June. You know, August wouldn't surprise me either as far as being full go and able to move around and to play. I don't think they'll rush him back by any stretch.
Do you see any resolution for Fitz? Do you think he's trying to make a resolution to stay here? Or do you think this thing's already, the horse is already out of the barn?
I don't think it's out of the barn yet. I think both sides have postured a little bit. I think it's going to come down to the time where Steve Keim and Fitz's agent Eugene Parker meet and start talking numbers. You know, Eugene Parker's been busy recruiting college athletes. That's pretty much ended clients for the upcoming year. I think they'll have some time now. I think, you know, maybe after the Super Bowl, toward the combine, when everybody meets in Indianapolis, I think maybe at that time we'll be close to a resolution. But, you know, as people are fond of saying, deadlines, you know, bring about production, or they, you know, nothing happens before a deadline. And I think, you know, the deadline is 5 days after the league season starts. So around March 17th is the deadline. They've got to decide something with Fitzgerald. So it wouldn't shock me if it went that long.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion it's, dear Larry, thanks for everything. Go chase your ring. Where are you
at? I think it's going to be, dear Larry, here, we'll offer you what Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, receivers of that ilk make, which is, you know, $6 million a year. Listen, we're willing to go $8 million because you are Larry Fitzgerald and we want to keep your Arizona Cardinal, but it doesn't make much sense for us to go beyond that. And I think they're going to frame it as such. Look, if Larry Fitzgerald is not in a Cardinals uniform in 2015, it's because Larry Fitzgerald doesn't want to be.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've had agents tell me, look at Roddy White's deal. That's a deal that Larry Fitzgerald is about right for Larry Fitzgerald, age and all that stuff. I don't.
Yeah, and I really think I think both sides can agree on that kind of money. I think what it's going to come down to, does Larry Fitzgerald, does he see himself as an integral part of this offense mm-hmm. going forward? That's the central question, and he hasn't come out and publicly said that. The vibe I'm getting is, you know, it definitely wasn't at the beginning of the year. It was starting to feel that before Carson Palmer went down and before Larry went out with a knee injury. But, you know, in this offense, Larry's days of running down the field outside the numbers and getting thrown a lot of deep balls, those are over.
Right. That's not the offense that Arians has for him. That's just the way.
No, Arians view they have other people who can do that. But that said, I do think Arians and his offensive staff sort of came to realize over the course of the first half of the season how important Fitzgerald could be to this offense.
Sure.
And I think he became a bigger part of the game plan. And as this when this offense was rolling in its better days, it's when Carson Palmer was getting the ball to Larry Fitzgerald in critical situations. I don't think that can be ignored either.
Before I let you go, two other things. Do they draft a quarterback?
Wow. I mean, right now I would say no. You know, I just don't think they're going to, you know, find somebody at 24 in the draft that they're that enamored with.
It doesn't have to be there.
One later. They've done that, you know, two of the last, 3 years in Ryan Lindley and
Logan Thomas.
Excuse me, Logan Thomas. Yeah. So I don't see it. I think maybe they'll go one more year without taking one high in the draft anyway.
Boy, I mean, that just – Carson is back there at 35, and the body is – I just think they're rolling the dice. At some point, Kent, they've got to reach high to get somebody that they really feel like, unless you're thinking they already have that guy in Logan Thomas. But
no, I haven't seen anything that would – make me confident of putting Logan Thomas in there in 2016 or 2017.
Right.
To me, he's got a long, long way to go. But I also think, you know, you can make the argument, look, Carson Palmer's in tremendous shape. He was hurt because of a freak, you know, wrong twist, and it popped on him. But, you know, I see what you mean, you know, but it's
but he also
it's
was hurt.
Hard.
But he also was hurt early in the season, too, with a completely different injury. That's my
right.
thing, is if you decide that this year's quarterback class is – you're not going to have Mariota and you're not going to have Winston. But if you're sitting there looking at, okay, the quarterbacks in the 15 class beyond those two, if it's Hundley or just go down the list of the players versus what does it look like in 16, what does it look like in 17, if you deem it a deeper class in 16 and 17, that's fine. But we can't – I think, in my view – when you miss on a quarterback in the top 10, as they did years back, it still is biting them in the backside in some sort of way. You can't have that happen. So you're sitting here with guys late in the season that are just guys.
Yeah.
And
I agree with you. It's just, you know, it's tough to sit there at 24 where they are this year and think, God, we're not really sold on a Hundley. Do we go after him? I you know, this is way too high to draft a kid, or do we, you know, try to get by for another year or two. It's a tough call. No question.
Who do you like this weekend? I'll let you go off that.
I like Seattle barely over Green Bay. I think that's going to be a really, really close game, and it's going to be fun to watch two of the most accurate passers in the league, and especially guys who can throw while on the run. The other game, I just don't see the Colts coming close to the Patriots. I really don't.
Safe travels wherever you're going around the valley in the next couple weeks, because I know it's going to be crazy, and I appreciate your time and insight as always. Thanks.
You're welcome, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Kent Summers, AZ Central Cardinals Insider. It's always good to have Kent on board. AZ Central Cardinal Insider, Kent Summers. I don't know if you guys heard about the Open. There's some news out there. The PGA Tour. The PGA Tour is one of these organizations that doesn't know how to spell the word fun, and you could spot them, the F and the N. I will tell you why I'm not happy with them on the other side. Plus, the more details on Kurt Busch and the crazy woman who believes, the lady he was sleeping with, that she was an assassin. She repeatedly asserted her assassin status. She went on missions to Central and South America and Africa. Guys, we can all relate to these kind of girls, right? I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, so the Open is coming up. We'll be out at the Open the week of Super Bowl. It's a balancing deal. In my opinion, the local civic event that is the bigger deal, the civic event where most of you can get into, if not all of you, can get into and enjoy it year in and year out, is the Open. There'll be 500,000 people there. The big national event that it'll be fun to be at, and maybe because I've been to Super Bowls before, it's fine. Will be the Super Bowl. All the parties and all the stuff around the Super Bowl, that'll be fun too. Jimmy Fallon tickets this morning were gone in like a minute and a half. If you went online to try to get them, there's like 1,300 of them. That's cool. I'm a fan of Jimmy Fallon's. It's fine. The game itself is kind of a culmination. I've been invited to some cool parties, some things. I got invited to a wine deal with all these former NFL players that have their wineries. And they're going to unveil their wineries. There's actually some baseball players. I got invited to that event. I don't know if I'm going to get lit or not. I don't think so. I'm going to go there and enjoy myself. But there's some other cool things that are going on during the week that have nothing to all do with the game. And on the site, on sports360az.com, we will have our usual what's going on around town from our view, some personal side stories around the Open. I think Tiger being here is beyond so interesting. And of course, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We'll have their content too. Let me get over to, before I get to this, a segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So Santan Ford, my experience yesterday, I'd give you guys how busy I am to give you an idea of being in the vehicle, okay? You got up this morning, you get into your car, you may be leaving for work later today, and you're looking at your vehicle saying, I don't like driving this anymore. It has too many miles. I don't fit. It's just time for something different. But you haven't pulled the trigger. Stop in and see General Manager Tim Hovick and the people at Santan Ford. I've been talking about them to you for over 3 years now. I've known Tim longer than that. Tim is very ingrained with the Ford brand, of course, with the Diamondbacks, with Arizona State, with the Arizona Cardinals. They're big corporate sponsors. It makes a lot of sense, as they are with us here at sports360az.com. Tim Hovick and their staff at Santan Ford can help you out into that new or the certified pre-owned vehicle. That's at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I was asking Eric during the break, which story do you like better? LeBron and what last night looked like. I don't care about Markieff Morris not wanting to talk. That's his problem. He's Markieff Morris. You're going to wear a hello, my name is tag at some point, because people just don't. If you don't want to talk after your career night, knock yourself out, big boy.
Well, he is a twin, so of course he should wear a name tag.
Or
as the ESPN commentator said last week in Minnesota, he's one of two twins on the Suns. So apparently,
really
there
good.
Apparently there are four kids. There are four. I never knew that. Did you?
You know, the Kobe Bryant story today is just fabulous. Pay him $25 million and, you know, he's not hurt, but we need to save him for next year.
Talk about a rudderless ship.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
But the Open story is the one that I think people need to understand a little bit more. So this came out yesterday afternoon. And, of course, because most people don't see this from top to bottom, understand how this works, I've heard that there's been some blaming and finger-pointing at the people over at TPC Scottsdale and the Waste Management Open. Here's the story. For the second time in 3 years, and by the way, I'm going to get back to Kurt Busch because it's just too good. For the second time in 3 years, the PGA Tour has put the kibosh on an element that made the 16th hole at the Waste Management Open so memorable. The PGA Tour, understand, read my lips, the PGA Tour put out notice to players and caddies stating that for fan safety, players and caddies are prohibited from throwing, kicking, or otherwise propelling items into the crowd on the 16th hole. So I guess you can't have an errant tee shot because that's a propelling of an item. Can you hand items? Throwing is one thing. Can you just walk over? Me being 6'8 and put my big long paw out there in 16 and they hand me an autographed ball. Can I do that?
The Thunderbirds should get creative and
yes,
have like a huge like
pole,
fishing pole
right,
or something. No,
right.
that would be throwing, I guess. But you could have like
no,
one of those
huge. You can drop down, put a paper clip on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a good idea.
One of those huge extenda poles.
That's
or something.
It. That's it. Remember when, were you with me when we did the fishing net for the Maguire?
Yeah.
Remember that bit?
Sure.
So, or was it Bonds? I think it was Maguire.
Maguire.
So Maguire was taking batting practice. This is Eric and I. This is like, I don't know, 16, 17 years ago. I said, let's go down there and put up a net out in right field and try to catch balls. So we got like this fishing, or this pool net. You know, you get the pool net to get the leaves out. We put one of those on an extender, and I'm standing out there in right field doing the pregame show trying to catch Mark Maguire balls.
Yep, back when chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah. I mean, it was idiotic, but so what? That's
era.
What we do. We still do dumb stuff.
That
it's
was such
fine.
A, that was such a big deal. Like, Maguire coming just to do batting practice was just as big of a deal as LeBron coming to
oh,
play
it's
the Suns
no
last
question.
Night. It was a huge event for batting practice.
This was not Trevor Bauer doing his pregame routine. No. This was Mark Maguire hitting the TGI Friday sign.
Different time, wasn't it?
No, it was.
Wow. Different time.
It was all roided up. It's fine. Anyways, so yeah, you can have some fun with this. The PGA Tour put out notice to the players and caddies that they can't do. It's like they used to kick a football into the stands. Can't do that. Can't throw hats. Ricky Fowler would throw hats into the stands. Propelling items, I don't know what that means. I don't know. I've never seen somebody propel an item. Bring a Frisbee out? I don't know what that means. 3 years ago, the tour discontinued caddy races for the safety of the caddies. Why is that? Because most of those guys were not in shape. No, I don't know. In all seriousness, I don't know. And now players aren't allowed to throw swag gifts to the crowd for safety reasons. I don't know. When it comes to safety reasons, probably capping the number of beers that you can hold in your hand at one time might be a good place to start. Because when I see people out there for safety reasons drinking like a fish because they think that there's never going to be another ounce of beer left, and it doesn't matter if it's the drunk co-ed who's only 18 or 19 who's puking on her shoes outside of 16 with all of her buddies saying, oh, I'm so sorry for you, or the Scottsdale, what's the word I'm looking for here? The Scotts, how do I put this nicely? The cougar, right? It's the cougar and she's just lit. And she's checking guys out, and she's pounded drink after drink, and she's there. She's the one that wears heels in the grass. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. She's the one that may have heels and not much else on, saying, hey, we've got a show at 4 o'clock. We have a party bus for you. Of course I want to get on the party bus with you.
And that's the beauty of all the people coming in
sure.
for Super Bowl week. They have no idea. They have no idea what to expect. When, oh, you know what? It's cool. It's like, let's go watch this golf tournament. It's fun. And oh Tiger's going to be there. And then they get up there and it's like,
well, that's why I was asking Peter. That's why I was asking Peter King on the air.
Oh, he had no idea.
No. And Peter loves stories. Like from a storytelling standpoint, you take him to 16 for like an hour.
Yeah.
He'd love it.
Sure.
And for people that have never been, part of the fun of 16 is, yeah, they get on guys. And they know all the best. When I say they, it's the college guys, young working adults that know the backgrounds and who these guys have dated all the way back to junior high school. They'll chant the girl's name. It's funny. It's very funny. And it's very smart humor, too, for the most part. Friday afternoon around 5, it's not pretty out there. I mean, it's you need a wastebasket just to get everybody out. You put people in a wheelbarrow to roll them through. So here's the thing. The tournament is now forced to toe the PGA Tour line. When asked whose idea it was to stop these things, you're going to have to direct those questions to the PGA Tour, a tournament official who wishes to remain nameless. So when Tiger Woods rolls in, and somebody asked me, is Tiger going to play in the Pro-Am? I would find that like beyond hard to believe that Tiger would subject himself to the Pro-Am, but maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. What if a guy like Tiger Woods walks out of 16 and walks over to 17, and there's just a little bit of grass area there, and he hands some things to people? Can you hand stuff out? That's what I'm looking at in this, or like Eric's suggestion. That's a brilliant idea. We'll be the ones with the fishing pole. What are you guys going to do about it? We're following the letter of the law here.
But can you see some golfers just completely like playing dumb, be like, oh, I didn't know we could throw things?
Or what are you guys going to do to me?
Unless they, before they play, they're briefed. They all come in a big room, and these are the new guidelines. But I can easily see 16 gets out of hand so easy. I mean, them putting up rules, Brad, is almost just like putting gasoline on an open fire.
You know, the thing is, and I saw a quote from the PGA Tour. PGA Tour Chief of Operations, this guy told the AP that if a player is going to be handing them out or flipping them to someone in the first row, that's fine, but not going by throwing things like a Frisbee. So that's this morning from the PGA Tour Chief of Operations. So
but there's your gray area right there.
Sure
though.
It is.
There it is.
Sure it is. But the PGA Tour, the last few years that I've been out there, they are a little... They are over the top. Like, guys, it's a golf tournament in Phoenix. This is not the Masters. And if you're going to try to make it the Masters, you're going to lose what's going on out here. I don't know. The Open is just, it's so unique. I hate it when people try to screw up things that are cool. Because it is cool. 16 is cool for like a day or so. And then it's just, I don't know, ridiculous. Sports360AZ.com. That's our website. We have plenty of content. We do stuff not just on the pros, but on college, on high school. Our Twitter feed, you can follow it at Sports360AZ, or you can follow me on Twitter at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, on a busy Wednesday.